Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
I'm going to give y'all a break this morning. I don't have a sports analogy. I'm going to appeal to those of us who are more on the Jacob side. I grew up watching HGTV. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? I grew up watching that, and I still love that show to this day. Some of my favorite shows was like House Hunters. And I never understood how the person say I work at McDonald's, but my budget is $4 million. Don't get it. Still don't get it. I love Property Brothers. Love Property Brothers. I love all of the fixer-upper kind of shows. And then there was a show on Bravo I used to love called Million Dollar Listings, so I can look at houses that I'll never own, yet appreciate the beauty. Yeah. And as I watched those real estate shows, there was a phrase that kept coming up. They kept saying location, location, location. And as I began to think about real estate and I began to kind of research and study that, the value of a home, the desirability of a home, depends on the location.
Yeah.
And it affects the cost.
It does.
Some of us in this room pick the neighborhoods we live in because of the school system. So there's different components and factors that determine the value of a home, and it's based on location, location, location. As I was looking at this text this morning, you may be saying, why in the world did he title this location, location, location? It's because we're going to see a theology in this text of this union life with Christ, this in Christ, this in the Lord. Which means that the location of the things that we're going to see in this text is found not in a geographical nice place, but in a person. Last week, we heard about Jacob. And if you've been following us in Genesis, the Lord is so humble. Let me tell y'all something. Do not underestimate the humility of our God.
Yeah.
Our God is humble. And so when you think of location, 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 In the real estate terms, you think of grandeur, you think of desirability. And what we see in the Old Testament and through the scriptures is that the Lord in his humility, he take ordinary places that aren't that desirable. And they become extraordinary because of the encounter with him. You need an example? Jacob last week was in a regular place that became named Peniel, and because he saw the face of God, as he brought his anxieties and his fears to the Lord, he offered humble and honest prayers. The Lord met Moses in front of a bush. What is a bush? It becomes something supernatural when the presence of God consumes it.
Yeah. Mm.
You see it all through the New Testament. Jesus picking random places. David said, did any good thing come out of Nazareth? The book of Revelation was literally written from an exile place. Can I just give you a good pastoral nugget? That you can be in exile and still have an experience with the Lord Jesus because he's that good. And as we look at this letter to the Philippian church, when you read it without even studying it, you would think that Paul was at an amusement park. Because the word joy and rejoicing is repeated and repeated and repeated. This love, this overflowing love that he had for the saints was repeated. But can I tell you, his location, location, location was in a prison. Ooh. When he wrote a joy letter.
Yeah.
It did preach. So with that context alone, now let's think about the location of the people in Philippians. They were persecuted, actual persecution. Because as they were proclaiming the name of Jesus, that he is the king, they were simultaneously saying Caesar is not. And if you know anything about that, that is what got our Messiah killed. His claim that he was king. Not a king, but the king. In the church, the Philippian church, they were declaring that he is not a king, but he is the king. And it caused immense persecution. And it caused immense suffering. So what we're going to see in this letter, and it so perfectly matches last week's message, as we saw literally in fear of his brother, we saw Jacob literally come to the Lord in his fear, in his anxiety. So we get a chance to look at what does it practically look like for us to steal in our location. And we have various locations in this room. How can we still indeed encounter the Lord? Because it actually is not just possible, but it's reality. Where are you this morning? Where are you like in your heart though? Something that, thank you, Lord, I'll do it. Something that's been really in my mind lately is the soil of our hearts. There is not a problem with seed. We live in a country where you can get to a sermon at any minute. It is not a problem with seed, especially if you go to New Creation Fellowship. My honest, humble, biased opinion, Recap Gray is the best preacher I've ever heard in my life, which is why I'm not understanding why I'm up here. But we have no problem with seed. But there is a humongous question we must ask. What is the soil of my heart? And that's the part where we have to partner with the Lord. And we have to say, Lord, would you break up the stony areas in my heart? Because let me tell you something. When your heart is stony, you can listen to 967 podcasts, 432 sermons, 912 worship songs, and it will never penetrate you because the stony ground is there. And the burrs and the thorns and the cares of life will burn it and choke it out. So I don't know about y'all. When I hear that, I'm like, Lord, break up the ground in my heart.
Yes, Lord.
Because the goal of Christianity is to bear fruit. The goal of Christianity is to bear fruit. The goal of Christianity is to bear fruit.
Yes.
Can I say something?
Yes.
We should care about our witness. And your witness is not just you abstaining from sin. Church.
Come on.
Your witness is when you're driving in your car. Your witness is how you grocery shop. Your witness is how you manage your money. Your witness is how you are in your marriage. Your witness is how you parent. Your witness is how you live a single life. Your witness is what you look like and feel like when you're going through trials.
Right. Come on. Come on.
That is our witness. We have to expand. How are you, Christian, when the Lord doesn't do what you want him to do? And I'm going to tell you, as a worship leader, see, y'all got the twofold thing. I'm a preacher and a worship leader. So I get to look at y'all while we singing to the Lord. And I can tell when you're happy with him. And I can tell when you're not. Because in our arrogance and our pride, we say we're going to withhold our singing because you ain't doing what I want you to do.
Wow.
As if we are bartering with a holy God that if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Thank
Thank you for your mercy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your compassion and your lowliness and your understanding. If we have learned nothing else from Genesis, we have learned that we have a merciful God. So if anybody tell me God ain't merciful, we just got a box. It ain't no other thing we can do. We ain't got to talk. We just got a box. Because the Lord is merciful.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Paul is writing this letter. All of that was free pastoral stuff earlier. Paul is writing this letter to a group of people who are actually being persecuted. He opens this letter with like a prayer that they will overflow in the love of God so that they be blameless before him. What that looks like at New Creation Fellowship, that's literally the definition, perfect unity.
Yeah.
It's holy love. We desire as a community to be people who walk in holiness and walk in love. We hold those two things in tension and in tandem because we want to look like the Lord. We want to love like the Lord. We want to be mature. Mm-hmm. When people bite from our lives, we want it to be good fruit. We don't want to be spoiled and rotten. Paul kept saying, he always says, as you see me do, as you see me do, as you see me do, which means that he, someone happened to him.
Mm.
Can I tell y'all about Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the book of Acts, Paul literally had just approved the stoning of Stephen.
Mm. Wow.
Homie went to go get permission to be more heinous.
Yep.
Mm.
And as he was in an ordinary location, somebody encountered him, and that road became not ordinary anymore.
Mm. Wow.
And with the same aggression that Paul had in persecution, his affections now turn, and he has the same aggression in love for the Messiah. Mm. Mm, mm,
mm.
You see him in Acts. He immediately got to work.
Mm.
He immediately, with the same energy that he was persecuting, he is now using that same energy to share the message of Jesus. And can I give us a thing about Paul that we miss? Jesus said, I'm going to tell him all that he must suffer for my name.
Wow.
Paul did not have a cush life. Yet something, someone happened to Paul. Because when you read his letters, it don't sound like most Christians. Someone happened to him. And when I read the Bible like that, and I know that God is not a respecter person, when I begin to read Paul's attitude, I'm like, Lord, whatever you did in him, would you do it in me?
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm.
We just said, I still got joy in chaos. How? How? Because shalom lives in us.
Yeah.
And he is with us. Verse 1.
Wow.
Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, stand firm. Somebody say, stand firm.
Stand firm.
In the Lord. In this way, my beloved. What we see in this first verse, I want you to really feel the love that Paul had for this church. It was like a real love. It was an overflowing love. It was like a robust love. My question to us, and we need this in the American church, especially as we head toward election year. God help us, number one.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I couldn't even watch the debate.
Uh-uh.
I just couldn't even look at them. It made me embarrassed as an American.
Yeah.
I say, out of all the people in the world.
Everybody.
These are the two. I'm going to stop because there ain't nothing message. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved, look at him doubling down. My beloved brothers and sisters, my beloved brothers and sisters, whom I long to see. Can I challenge us as a church? That's the way I pray that we see each other.
Yeah.
Key said something this morning that struck me. He was like, it felt like Christmas night last night for him because he was ready to see the saints. Is that the pervasive heart that you have about the family of God? My beloved brothers and sisters, who I long to see. Do we think of each other in affectionate terms? Paul gave us a little clue in the verses before this. He was like, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whom which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would transform the body of our lowly condition into conformity with his glorious body by the exertion of the power that he has to even subject all things to himself. Paul's brain was in another location. He lived with a different awareness. I already knew that this ain't an amen kind of sermon. Because this is challenging the way we think on earth right now.
Yeah.
Is the location of your brain saint of the living God? Is it more on earthly things? Or is it more in the things that are unseen? Because whatever you fix your eyes on is what you become.
Yeah.
This whole text is admonishing us to challenge the location of our thinking. Are you too earthly minded? Even as you're going through things, what is your mind on? Is it on heaven? When you look at the books that Paul wrote, you look at the New Testament, they kept reminding us, this ain't it. We're strangers. We're aliens. We're exiles. Can I tell you that some of our anxiety and worry is because we are too fixed on what is temporary. And our minds are not on the things of heaven. Let me go ahead and say this too. I'm the biggest sinner in the room. Nah, I got you, bro. I am. It's me. I'm rebuking myself. I'm preaching to me. Just so you can feel better. It's me. It's not you. It's me. The Lord has been really dealing with me about my mind. He's really been asking me, like, is that really beneficial for you to watch? Like, for real, is it beneficial, though? Or is it something that's going to continue the trampling of your heart? Saints, we got to mature.
Yeah.
It's good.
This is that, like, Paul was like that granddad, that, like, uncle. That's like, yo, let's get this back in line. Mature. Yeah. I want to mature. He said, my joy and my crown. Then he said, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved. That stand firm word is a military word. He was saying, stand firm. The only way you can stand firm is in the Lord. Location.
Yeah.
Here's the beautiful tension of this. We're always responding to what God initiated. So when you have stand firm in the Lord, you also have now unto him that'll keep you from falling. So not only is he telling you to stand firm, he's saying, I'm the one that's going to help you stand firm, but I still need you to stand firm. That's the beautiful tension that our Lord invites us to. We're not the initiators. We're always the responder. He's like, I already gave you the strength to stand. What did Ephesians say? In 6, be strong in the Lord. Take up the whole armor of God in which he gave us. so that you can withstand the wiles of the enemy. What's really intriguing is how little it takes current believers to leave Jesus.
Yeah.
Can we have a little sheep talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, these people literally, can I tell y'all in the book of Acts, they stoned Paul, thought he was dead, left. Paul gets up out of the rubble and say, let's go to the next city so I can share the gospel. Where they do that at?
Yeah, yeah.
For us, somebody can frown at us on a Sunday and we're out of the faith.
Ooh. My goodness. Help us, Lord.
Is that not convicting? The early church was facing actual, I'm going to cut your head off. And that's still the reality to this day in some places.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut your head off. The time you go to church can be the last time you go to church. Somebody scream out, mature.
Mature.
He said, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Then homie said, he added some people. You know, like when you send a what they call it, tweet. I felt very old just then. You know how you like, at me, bro, at me. Paul said, bet. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony. Somebody say, in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Somebody say, in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Location, location, location. Can you imagine hearing this letter? You just chilling. Like, oh, Paul, everything I count as loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ my Lord. Oh, Lord, no, and you just like, citizenship is in heaven. Yes, and your name is Euodia and Syntyche. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, man, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, whom I long to see my joy and my crown stand firm in the Lord. Now, Euodia and Syntyche agree. You like, wait, bro, who told him we he in jail? How you know what we got going on? Paul was so intimately known with that church that he knew what was going on.
Wow. Wow.
God doesn't play about unity.
No, sir.
No.
God doesn't play about unity. And this church loved each other. Now, this ain't true about New Creation because all of us are just angels and perfect in this room. So we don't have no disagreements. We love each other. All these different ethnicities and personalities. This is the easiest thing we've ever been a part of. Yeah. Said no one who got sins. God is challenging us in this room to remember that our common ground is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
That the thing that unifies us as a church is not our preferences. It is not our personality, but it is the person of Jesus Christ. He said, have harmony in the Lord. Location, location, location. Yeah. Harmony is only found in Jesus. As we lean into our common ground in him. Are you at odds with somebody in the room? Because they vote differently? This is the Big C church now.
Yeah.
Do we have prejudices that we are not bringing to the Lord, to the Lord, to the Lord? What's the goal, y'all? Christ-likeness? See, isn't that interesting? If the goal was going to church, I actually wish it was that, because I'm like, I could count on my hand how many times I missed church. We got that, bro. And if the goal was a Patmos prayer life, ooh, we good. Patmos was for John. You need a church. Oh, I know that flu. That flu. That flu. That flu.
Come on.
Patmos was persecution. Some of us are trying to live isolated and away from the family of God. Psalm 68:6 says that he placed the lonely in family, but the rebellion lived in a sun-scorched land. Could it be that you are not experiencing the joy of the Lord because you are choosing to live isolated, apart from his family? We're choosing to live isolated. No. I'm going to stake my foot in the ground, and I'm not gathering today just because I don't want to. Evil one. When was the first time isolation happened? Come on, Bible people.
Genesis 3.
Mm-hmm. After what? Sin. He said, live in harmony in the Lord. Lord, I thank you for Euodia and Syntyche, that they got called out so that we can be convicted. Yeah. He then says, indeed, true companion, I ask you also, help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement, as well as the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul was like, yo, I don't just want y'all to get together. I want y'all to help them get together. New Creation Fellowship, we should be helping each other stay in unity and in harmony.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
If somebody bring you some mess, don't you get triangle. Amen. Somebody bring you some gossip, don't you get triangle. No. We call to live in perfect unity. I'm telling you now, you come to me with stuff, I'm calling the person you talking about. I'm going to say it to them.
Say it to them.
Not for to talk about me in the group chat. Paul did not play about this unity. He was like, we got to call it out and we got to deal with it as a community. It's interesting, we look at Philippians 4 and we skip on down to rejoice in the Lord, but folks don't even like that verse either. We just go with the and the peace of God will surpass our understanding. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. But before that, there was a whole dialogue that Paul was having with this church that he loved. He said, agree in the Lord.
Yeah.
I love Ephesians. It's like, give no room to the enemy for disagreement. And can I say this? Ooh, y'all. Every time we have offense and we take new covenant meal and we don't confess it, we are blaspheming the Lord our God.
Wow.
Guilty. Thank you for your mercy. We can't play with our hearts. Do you know people are playing with their hearts? They're not asking God to search them. Somebody said, I like Christ, I just don't like Christians. You as a Christian, you just got to say, ouch. We do be tripping, though. Anybody just going to be honest and say, I be tripping. I be tripping sometimes. Especially if I ain't eight. I be tripping. I'm an early riser, but I'm not a morning person. I be tripping. If y'all catch me before 9, please forgive me. Please. I'm sorry. I carry like a face that it smiles, but it's just like normally stoic. I promise y'all I'm happy. Please forgive me, saints. Don't hold it against me. We be tripping. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Then he goes to this verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Rejoice where? Location, location, location. Where is the bed ground of your rejoicing? In the Lord. Now I'm for the preach. Because now you get to worship leader Demetrius.
Come on.
People misinterpret rejoicing. People think that God is asking you to burn incense, create a vibe, have positive optimism, just be Gucci. God is saying, I know exactly what you are going through, and I'm going to ask you a question. Who told you that joy and grief can't dance?
Whoa, wow.
Come on.
Preach.
He said in Genesis 3, who told you you were naked? So who told you that joy and grief can't live in tension? Who told you? That's an actual question. Who told you?
Wow.
Because he didn't tell you.
Right.
When you look at the Apostle Paul's life, he was very aware of what he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I've been shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
I got the marks of Christ on my body. Mm-hmm. I've been flogged. I've been beaten. Mm-hmm. He ain't asking us to have optimism. He's saying because rejoicing is located in someone that no matter what your circumstance is, you always have a reason to praise.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
All you need is a breath and a memory.
Yeah.
Wow. Hallelujah. Wow.
There is always a reason to rejoice. How does this work practically?
Practically.
Something comes up that is negative. It could be whatever. It could be the smallest thing. Yeah. A flat tire. Let me tell y'all. I'm going to testify, bro. Now, those who know me know that I've gone through some crazy stuff. And the peace of God just surpassed my understanding. Burying my mama. Mm. Burying my brother. Burying my uncle. Eulogizing my twin cousins. Having a very bad church split. All in the same 12, 13 months. But that, I didn't even mention this. Got hit by 18 wheeler. I don't even throw that part of my testimony. That was in 2021 after my mom passed away. Somebody was like, Meech, we need to pray because this is very Job-like. But you let me lose my keys or have a flat tire. Oh, this is Satan. I'm undone. Unrooted. So practical example, flat tire. How do we rejoice in the Lord for a flat tire? Let me give you an example. We drive it. Tire's flat. Golly. This ain't optimism. This is truth. Thank you that a tire was connected to my car to be flat. Because there are people that don't have a car. So it was your provision, Lord, for me to have a car. Now, Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you are going to give me to either call somebody or I have the skill set to change this. Because what we do when we go through stuff is that we begin to ruminate, which means meditate on it, repeat the negative stuff. And we don't pause to open our mouths and to say, Lord, even in spite of this, there is a reason to praise.
Yeah.
There was a reason to rejoice.
Wow.
And that's a light example. It can go deep. The first thing that I said out of my mouth, again, I have like maybe 17 holy days out of the 365. This was one of them days. When my mom passed away, I said, Lord, thank you for the 30 plus years that you gave me with a fantastic mom. That I am not burying her with regret. Do y'all know that some people, when they lose their parent, they got a whole bunch of regret? I wasn't burying my mama out of, like, offense. I got to, like, literally celebrate her life. We talked every day. That was my homegirl. Listen, that was the homie. We had this little thing where I would set my phone up and we would compete on who cooking the best dinner. Of course, mama always gonna win, even if it's just chicken and rice. It was fellowship. It was communion. And the first thing out of my mouth, with tears though, because joy and grief can dance. I said, Lord, thank you for giving me a godly mama. She is the reason that I was even in church, which gave you an opportunity to put your hand on my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I'm so glad that she knew you, because right now, sis is doing better than me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's how you can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul was in prison, bound, but the gospel was free and moving and active.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm asking us to ask the Lord to till the ground of our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Because in 2024, Paul saying this to us, we label him as unrealistic and we counsel him.
Yeah.
And we actually coddle Paul. I'm talking about 2024 culture. Paul, that's so cute. You rejoicing in the Lord. That's nice. But I need you to remember you in jail. Is that not what you hear? In 2024, people are talking you out of faithful living. Paul is like, sis, I know where I am. I said it earlier. And I said, don't worry about me. I'm actually worried about you, because the guards are hearing the gospel. Because Paul's obsession was Jesus and not this world. Take this world and give me him. I want Jesus. That's how he can say rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He said this word so much. This is like the 7th, 8th time that he said rejoice. And it's like he said joy so much that you would think that his location was somewhere that it wasn't. This man was in a prison. So many people have a misconstruence of rejoice. We think that God is asking you to violate what you're going through or not acknowledge it. Y'all want to hear a very uncomfortable story? When my mom was in the hospital, I had people calling me to make sure that I had 100% faith. All right, Demetrius. Her coming out of this hospital, you in faith? I'm like, first of all, ain't nobody going to believe for this more than me in general. But secondly, I'm a sinful man. Who has 100% anything? Go read the Bible. And some of us have grown up in those churches. You get diagnosed with cancer, don't you say the C word. Ooh, we're not claiming that. We're not claiming that. We're not claiming that. In Jesus' name, you don't. I'm like, but I do though. Like, what do you do when it's there?
Right. Yeah.
Preach. Faith is not void logic and realistic stuff. Then we have the other side, though, because y'all know we pendulum people. Oh, Demetrius, you do have cancer, my brother. Oh, that's all we see. This world is broken and dim, Demetrius.
Yep.
Oh, Lord, man, keep telling us you have cancer. That makes us feel like we got a reason to pray. Yeah. I don't want that either.
No.
God wants us in the middle.
Yes.
Though they slay me, yet will I trust him.
That part. Wow. Yeah.
I have this, but I know the healer. This is true, but so is this. Yes. That is attention. Yes. I am waiting, but the God that I'm waiting on is trustworthy. Waiting is hard, but waiting with him has beauty.
Yeah.
Me and my sister was at the funeral of my brother, and something funny happened. And I'm the wrong person to sit by in church when something funny happened, because I'm going to laugh. And my laugh is really disciplined, so I can be gone and folks don't even know it. It's some funny stuff that happens in church. Yes. And I started laughing. My mom started pinching me because she was like, Demetrius, I'm finna lose it. And I'm sitting up here. And then you hear at my brother's funeral a whole murmur because the whole family is now laughing. My sister started crying. She was crying because she was laughing. She was crying because she felt that she didn't have permission to laugh. Who told you joy and grief can't dance?
Wow.
It was funny. And we're sad. Ha ha, and cry. Can I free us?
Yes. Yeah.
Brene Brown, a world psychologist lady, she said the most terrifying emotion is joy. Wow. Did you hear what I just said?
Wow.
She said the most terrifying emotion is joy. Because a lot of us are so afraid to live in joy because we have this fear of what is next. So we'll just live in this state of just, okay, let me be even keel. I don't want to be too happy. Then I don't want to be too sad, because whatever happens, it'll happen. And I'm good either way. That's not living, saints.
That's not. Preach.
I got a question.
Okay.
If you're in the hospital on a machine, do you want the heart monitor to be flat or moving?
Wow. Wow.
Verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Somebody say, the Lord is near.
The Lord is near.
Somebody say, the Lord is near.
The Lord is near.
Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. That word gentle is actually translated a little better. Let your equity be known to all people.
Wow.
Paul, in the spirit of unity in this text, was still pointing us to be equitable with each other.
Wow.
Oftentimes the church really deals. Let me give y'all a story of what it looks like to be equitable. Think about Jesus when the woman was caught in adultery. She came accused. Jesus then says, yo, the one without sin, cast the first stone. All of them got a dip. Jesus and her left alone. And the one who could actually judge her said, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Then we just learned who was the villain with Jacob and Laban.
Right.
That's equity. You can't be the exclusive victim. The church don't want that kind of stuff.
Wow.
There is this nuance that we are called to live with. We don't get to choose who we be equitable with. He said, let that gentleness be known to all people, for the Lord is near. That word near is a time word that literally is talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And it also can point to him just being with us moment to moment. But the greater understanding of the Lord is near is that the Lord is coming back.
Yeah.
And what the early church did that we don't do well, what my grandma and them did that we don't do well, they talked about the fact that Jesus is coming back, that this is not it. And they let it fuel the way they lived currently on earth.
Wow.
Location. From what posture do you live from? Do you even think about the second coming of the Lord? Our brothers and sisters who are persecuted on a week to week out basis. Can I tell y'all this too? Some of the most joyful people I met were not Americans. Pastor Siddhar Chowdhury from Calcutta, India, who was kicked out of his family's home before being a teenager, was one of the most joyful Christians I ever met in my entire life. His joy was palatable. I'm talking about like, you know, like when a person overuses cologne, it takes over the room.
Yeah.
I have a free men's tip, you know, with cologne, how we use it, you know, shower and then, you know, just a little dab. So when people come upon us, they, versus, they smell us over there. Amen. But he was palatable. His joy was palatable. Literally, him talking just made us cry. How though? Because all his Christianity is suffering. You got kicked out of your parents' home. You're pastoring. And literally, just like with Moses, the evil people would do what God did. And the people would go based on who did the miracle. This man told us this. It was baffling. But yet he had such a hope and a joy in the, where was it? Location, location, location. It was in the Lord Jesus. Y'all got to meet Pastor DeLizzo. That man ruminates joy. And is serving in one of the poorest areas in the whole world. What happened to them, y'all? Someone. Does that not convict our hearts?
Yeah.
Where right now when we leave this building, we can go wherever we want to go and eat. We can do whatever we want to do when we leave this building. Yet we live with such a lack of gratitude.
Yeah.
The Lord talked to me and was like, yo, you the older brother.
Wow.
We having a party and you over there pouting. Because you forgot that you live in the house with me. And everything that I have, you already have access to it. We live in a country where we can get to anything. Yet we are the most ungrateful people in the whole world, though. How? I said, Lord, you could have said something else. Why you said the older brother? Because every time people read that story, they know the older brother is not the good one. I'm like, well, I had to be the older brother. Because you are. I don't know why I'm going here, but God don't just want faithfulness. He wants fruitfulness. And some of us would like to choose.
Right.
Let me be faithful, which means I'm just going to show up. You better be glad I'm here this morning anyway. Hard heart. Would you break it up, Lord?
Yeah.
Break it up.
Yeah.
Break it up, Lord. It's there. Break it up. Like we're doing God a favor.
Right.
When what he does, when we sing to him, and when we hear his word, the way that he meets us and encounters us. Then he said in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Again, in this text, what Paul is saying, let me give y'all the clinical definition of anxiety so that you can know. It is when you ruminate. Somebody say ruminate.
Ruminate.
Somebody say ruminate.
Ruminate.
Somebody say ruminate.
Ruminate.
That literally means that you are obsessed over things that cause you worry. And you repeat it over and over and over and over again. You become obsessed with it. That is anxiety. That is the definition of anxiety. So what Paul is not saying here is to not be concerned about something that deserves concerned thinking. What he is saying is do not ruminate. You want another word for it? Don't chew the cud. In Psalm 1, when it says meditate, cows and animals would chew and chew and chew and chew and chew and chew. Spit it back out. Chew. Put it back in. Chew, chew, chew. Spit it back out. Put it back in. Chew, chew, chew. Paul is saying don't do that with things that cause worry. But instead of that, with everything by prayer and pleading. Notice this, with thanksgiving though.
Yeah.
So we're being humble, we're being honest, but we're being thankful. Because when we are not thankful, we forget that everything we have is a gift.
Right.
And we find ourselves in the prayer room complaining instead of praying. He said, we're pleading. We just learned last week. Tell him the honest truth.
Yeah.
But you do so with the heart of thanksgiving, though. Let your request be made known. And guess what happened? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Where? In Christ Jesus. Where? In Christ Jesus. Location, location, location. The shalom of God. God himself will blow your mind. And he will guard your heart. That word guard is a military term, which means that the Lord is going to be stronger than that British soldier who we saw in that doggone news thing that stood flat in front of that gate, even when it was raining. He was not going to leave his post. God is saying, when you come to me and you bring everything to me, I will set up a military guard around your heart and around your mind. Location, location, location in Christ Jesus, though. That should be good news for the person that's anxious. That he will set up a military infantry around your heart and around your mind if it stays on him. Then he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What is Paul telling us? This is the things that you should be chewing the cud on.
Yeah.
How is your thought life? Like, give it an honest assessment. Is it filled with things that are true? That are honorable? That are right? That are pure? That are lovely? That are commendable? That are excellent? That are worthy of praise? Is that the percentage-wise more what we think about? One of my favorite preachers said, the scene of the crime is the mind. Another therapy term is ants. Automatic negative thoughts. And we let them just flood. And we don't proactively combat them with the things that are true. This whole text that we read this morning is not passive. These aren't things that you sit down and say, okay, Lord, the thoughts are there. Can you take them? And then he does like a shoot. That's not what happens. It's when the enemy starts talking to your brain, you do what Messiah did in the wilderness. He opened his mouth and began to declare the word of the Lord to combat the lies of the enemy. And the beautiful thing for us, we don't just have to come back with the word of God. We can actually say there is somebody who is true. There is somebody who is honorable. There is somebody who is right. There is somebody who is pure. There is somebody who is lovely. There is somebody who is commendable. There is somebody who is excellent. There is somebody who is worthy of praise. And his name is Jesus.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Not only do we, Romans 12:1-2, renew our mind in the word of the Lord, but we also can think of the one that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Is he beautiful to you? Is he beautiful? When you think of him, does your consciousness change? Or is he just a regular man?
Wow.
Jehovah's Witnesses see him as Savior. They even say mediator. But what's the difference for us who actually know that he chose to live in us?
Yeah.
That he chose to surround us. And so the location, location, location is in us. And that everywhere we go ceases now to be common. Because everywhere we go, the kingdom of God is with us. Is that how you think? When you're at work? Is that how we think? When we're driving? As for the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says so much, follow me as I follow Christ. That's kind of convicting. Because can you say, follow me as I follow Christ? Is this something that you can confidently say, the things you've learned, the things you received, you heard, you seen in me, practice these things. Can I help us? That's not just for elders and pastors. That's for every Christian.
Yeah.
it ain't just, oh, okay, y'all follow John, because he's one of the leaders in the church, brother. Follow John. No, no, no. That's the question for me. That's the question for you. Are you practicing things that are followable? When you look at this text, would you be marked? Can I ask a real question? Don't answer it in public, because y'all know we scared of each other. Of all of the fruit of the Spirit, would people say that you have joy? Would you be marked by joy? Because the other fruit of the Spirit, we hear so many sermons on, persevere, be long-suffering, be gentle. Don't be mad. But when the last time were you challenged in your joy, though? Will your coworker say, ooh, that person just emanates joy? It's like annoying joy. Don't the scripture say the joy of the Lord is my strength? Some of us are weak because our joy is not being made full in Jesus. In him. Location, location, location. It's in him. It's not in the thing that you face. Church, can we mature? Can New Creation at least say we're going to mature? We're going to mature. I'm not fit to be pouting when I'm in a season of trial. Lord, give me the strength to rejoice, because rejoice has a location. It's in the Lord. And here's the beautiful thing about all of this. We have a Messiah that modeled every single thing that we see. Every single thing that we preached. Every single thing that we read. We have a teacher that don't just say, follow me, but he say, do what I done already done. Jesus left his location, location, location. And it was an actual perfect one. To come to earth. To dwell among us. He was born in a horrible location, location, location. A horse trough. In Bethlehem. At the announcement of his birth, people tried to kill him. And as a little kid, he had to go from location to location to location. And even in his going from location, 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 it fulfills scripture after scripture after scripture. Because we just serve a God that that's sovereign. As he grew up, he was spellbounding people in temples. Just showing off at 12. Because we just got a God that shows off. He became a man. And at 30, he started living out where he was headed to. A horrible location, location, location. You want to talk about anxiety? Hear me, Christian. Jesus knew everything, which meant he knew when his death was approaching. Imagine living 33 years knowing that you're going to die. Anxiety. But as we often see, and we saw it in a bootleg location, a garden that became holy, that he poured out his anxieties before the Lord with prayer and pleading with a grateful heart. He ain't asking us to do something he hadn't done. There are medical people that say the sweat that was coming from his face was mixed with blood, because that's how anxious he was. An actual reason to be anxious, going to be killed on a cross. And then the Bible said, for the joy set before him, rejoicing always. For the joy set before him, he endured, he persevered, he endured the cross, despising it of his shame. That man gave his last breath And he let his gentleness be made known by saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. I'm about to throw this microphone and run around Orlando.
Wow. Thank you, God.
He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He took his last breath. Dude named Joseph, let me have him. Let me wash him. And the Bible is so clear. It said he just cut out a rock. A normal location. That turned into an extraordinary location.
Because
he was in that tomb.
Yeah.
So much so that they said, you need to go guard it with the military guard.
Wow.
Go guard it. Because that man said he was going to get up, and we don't want them to fake this story. So the Bible said not only did they guard it, but they extra sealed it. Why are you doing all that? It was just a regular location. But it was somebody in that tomb.
Yeah.
That wasn't regular.
I feel
the help of the Lord Jesus in this room. And on the third day, the Marys, not Mary, but the Marys.
Yeah.
They went to that location because they knew that he was buried there. But they were met with an angel that said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Because he is not here. He rose like he said he would. Now you go and tell the disciples. And as they were going on a regular road, somebody met them at their location.
Yeah.
And the first words he said to them was, rejoice.
Wow.
He met the other 11 at the location he told them he would be at. And he gave the Great Commission. So that mountain became a commissioning station. And he said, all authority has been given to me. Go in your going to location. Go tell the whole world. In every location, about my glorious good news. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe, like Paul said, what you learned and what you saw from me, do it. Teaching them to observe. And guess what? The Lord is near. I'm always going to be with you, even until the end of the ages. That ain't it. He ascended, and he's preparing a location. When he returns for us, and we will be with him in that location forever. And until that day, we rejoice for the Lord is near.